What's going on?
Zombie takeout.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. Hello, and welcome to episode 491 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's movie. Gotta make sure I say movie, because I've been flipping them a lot recently. And I've had to cut things out. That's why some episodes may have been a bit awkward. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2012, Cockneys vs. Zombies. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu pod summary, sponsored by Fake Mustaches. Don't attempt armed bank robbery with that one.
And also brought to you by the Bow Bells Care Home. When under zombie attack, you don't just go out the front door. What are you, Laurel and fucking Hardy? All right, so we have a... oh, man, they're going to close down the care home.
Mm-hmm.
And these young men, their grandfather has lived there. The grandfather who pretty much raised them after their parents' unfortunate demise when they were young.
Suicide by cop.
Mm-hmm. He's... he's going to get moved somewhere far away. And the guy who's buying the nursing home is kind of a dick too.
Hmm.
And I think they had a plan to buy it earnestly somehow, but they said they lost their savings.
Yeah, they didn't go into what that plan was or how they raised that money, but
they somehow got robbed. I smell prequel, honestly.
I hope not.
And, so they instead go with plan B, which is, of course, rob a bank. They assemble a crack team, and when I say crack team, I mean they may have been smoking some crack at one point or another. And they start, and things, they almost luck into it. And things almost go really well, and they if they just could have played it off a little bit more coolly, and they might have even had a chance of walking out of there without anything going off, but these guys are not cool guys, and things went south. Except they did this in the middle of the zombie apocalypse. And the movie opened with a construction site opening an ancient Roman vault of some sort.
Coincidentally, it was the last King Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Happened to notice it was like King Charles III or something. It was a previous, I don't know, when the last
Charles was. I
was going
to say, the last one would be the second, because the current one was the third.
Right, his current was it, then it was second. So it was actually the last Charles. So coincidental timing on this one.
And, they kind of knew... how many decades we've been waiting for. Charles has been in waiting.
Well, this is about a decade ago, so.
That he would eventually be Charles III. We've probably known that for, 40, 50 years now, honestly. So they had all the time to prepare for this. So it is the zombie apocalypse. They take two hostages anyway, rather than just getting the fuck out of there, because who cares anymore about... Even the money is kind of worthless that you've stolen if the apocalypse is occurring. But they still took the money anyway. And, they go back to their hideout. Or was it their hideout? It was some weird rando...
It was like a warehouse.
Warehouse that they just wind up going back to to figure out what they should do. And of course they reach the conclusion that they need to go and rescue their grandfather because this is going on everywhere. I think that's where they figured out that this was happening everywhere, not just on the street that they happened to rob the bank on, which would have been really too silly.
Should mention it was two brothers who were raised by their grandfather who was in this home.
Yes.
A cousin of theirs and a random heavy who, well, let's just say he has a Chekhov's head plate.
man, one of the first brilliant twists on the zombie story, where you think, what can you possibly add to a zombie story that hasn't been added to it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when you have a metal
put in your head
and you become a zombie?
Random heavy and random incompetent. Almost forgot about Davey.
Yeah, he's kind of their special. I think he was a cousin too, wasn't he?
Okay, but yeah, he's the one who has the bullseye on him the entire time.
Yeah, you knew he was a red shirt from the beginning. He was not going to go very far. And yes, once they said he had a head plate, and people, you're like, wait a minute, zombie apocalypse, guy with the head plate. Oh, that's good. So they that goes to shit, of course. They wind up escaping with their with one hostage, at least, who comes willingly at this point, because they do her a favor and go check on her sister, and along the way, which of course, you know, it's in the zombie apocalypse, so kind of too late. And although it would have provided a sister for the other cousin or the other brothers, but you know,
true, it would have been nice symmetry.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because you probably would have hated that if they had two couples hooking up here.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of it in that sense, because she doesn't really hook up with anybody.
Yeah, it's another one of those implied that they kind of do without actually saying it, but it's there.
She kind of flirts with the guy with the plate in his head, or there's a bit of tension there. You think it's going to go that way. It never goes that way, because he gets bitten before they can.
She kind of, she's flirting with him out of preservation, but you can see there's kind of a relationship forming between her and one of the brothers that they don't come out and say, of course. But...
she's their cousin.
Oh, no. I was talking about the hostage.
Oh,
not
oh.
The cousin, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
No. The cousin hates,
yeah.
I can't remember what his name again was. Mental.
Yeah.
He mental just called him Mental.
There's a bit of tension when they're screaming at each other. I kind of thought maybe it was going to go that way.
There's tension, but she fucking hated his guts and wish he wasn't there. So they of course make their way from the nursing home, and the nursing home is an utter shit show. It's a siege situation, and they bust in, and hilarity ensues.
And there's a nice double head fake at the beginning, because we get this poster for this sort of very idyllic looking structure, apartment building, I'm guessing, that they're putting up.
Yeah.
And then it pulls back a bit, and you see the sign is torn, and there are birds on it, and you think, okay, the apocalypse has happened. And then it's just a construction site.
Yeah, it's just gentrification going on.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Is kind of an apocalypse within itself.
Yeah. And I should point out, it happens because these two guys on a construction site happen to break into the tomb of the last King Charles. And, well, the aristocracy fucks it up for the poor once again. I liked the explanation that the plague was actually zombies.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And there was some nice gore there. I mean, there were some nice gore throughout the movie. It was sparing, but it was good when they went there. And it's really just criminals and old people versus zombies.
Right. I like how the zombies waste no time in showing up, too. I mean, there's a lot of plot to deliver, but they are there in the very opening, you know, for those construction workers. It just takes a while for them to spread throughout the city, just giving them enough time to build this plot of them and their grandfather and robbing the bank and all that.
I thought it maybe took a little too long.
I was wondering if it did or not, but then I kind of realized you really did need to. And just the idea of having a bank robbery in the middle of a zombie apocalypse in itself is just kind of absurd.
Yeah. And I will admit, I thought this was going to be a total Shaun of the Dead ripoff.
Me too.
So I was relieved when it went in a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely, they definitely made it their own. I mean, it is the usual zombie story.
I liked Davy, the idiot, getting caught off guard and getting caught because he was showing off his scars.
Well, he's flirting with the convenience store clerk. That's how he got sent up. And then he almost fell for it again at the bank.
Yeah.
They're like, you idiot.
And Mickey's explanation or introduction to the Remington shotgun, completely Tarantino.
I was thinking Clint Eastwood, where he's doing the, you know, the world's most powerful gun. You can blow your head clean off.
Okay, I was thinking when you absolutely positively have to kill every motherfucker in the room.
He's practically doing the, I think it was a 357 Magnum where he was.
Oh, Tarantino, now that you remind me, yeah, Tarantino did kind of bite that.
I think he was even doing a little Clint Eastwood in his delivery. It was very intentional.
And I liked their reaction to there being too much money in the bank.
Yes.
Like more than they could carry out.
It's like, well, we're here, you know, we should just take it. That was a good one.
But I think the big problem is there's too much time spent on setup.
Well, let's see. They try. Well, because, yeah, they've got to get set up this whole why they're doing this and that the robbery. And, of course, the robbery is just a red herring and is meaningless at the end anyway.
Yeah. But there's no zombies for the first third of the movie.
Yeah. Well, except for the opening scene, which is why they had to do that.
Mm-hmm. I did like the old couple fighting zombies. Honor Blackman and Alan Ford. Honor Blackman I've heard of, I think, because she's been on Doctor Who. Quite a few people in the movie have been on Doctor
Who. Yes. A lot of people used from Doctor Who on this.
And Alan Ford, apparently a very well-known Cockney actor in the UK. I have to check out some of his stuff because he was a blast granddad.
Yeah, what's the... I always forget the Tarantino knockoff guy from England. Oh, Guy Ritchie.
Oh, okay.
Guy Ritchie used him.
Oh, okay. I've never really seen much Guy Ritchie.
You're not missing much, honestly. Just watch a Tarantino movie.
Yeah. And Michelle Ryan, who plays the cousin, I remember most... I've seen a handful of things, but I remember her most from the Bionic Woman remake.
Really? I do not remember a Bionic Woman remake.
It didn't last very long. Probably, it was like late thousands, didn't last too long.
I feel like she kind of steals most of the movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
As long as she's not sharing the screen with Alan Ford, who of course just steals his half of the movie, she steals the other because most of the robbers are quite lackluster.
And most of them, well, the brothers and Davy aren't criminals.
Yeah.
They're just doing this because it's what their parents did and they want to save their grandfather's home. They don't have the guts for this. She's got the guts for this. She's got it in the DNA.
And speaking of Tarantino, I could have sworn they took the childhood living room from Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction.
It looks similar, yeah.
Just this watch. That scene.
And I like that they properly introduced the zombies by the cops just disappearing.
Yes, that was great.
They walk out of the bank. The cops are there, you know, guns drawn. They go back in the bank. You know, this is a hostage situation, blah, blah, blah. They look out the door a few minutes later. It's barren.
Right. It's just about to really go to shit, where mental is about to just go out there. And just fucking
with this
go
massive
down.
Automatic shotgun, basically.
And then when he, instead of coming out to a huge gunfight, it's the zombie apocalypse on the street. Yeah. Which, I mean, wow, okay.
And I like that they know about zombies. That's a rare thing in a zombie movie.
Right.
And that they don't freak out about it.
But I like that there's still some people that are like, what? No, is it like this?
But the ones who know about zombies are very calm about it.
Yeah.
They're kind of annoyed, but they don't freak out.
They're treating it like it's like some sort of infestation. Like, oh, man, roaches.
And as they're, you know, getting away from the bank and running from the zombies, they bring this woman with them who was clearly holding her neck. They, like, saved her from some zombies. and she's clearly holding her neck. Fortunately, they didn't waste too much time with her.
Yeah, they never wasted a lot of time with the when are they going to turn kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had mental for a little bit,
yeah,
but not long.
And they didn't really tease that it was a willy or won't he. You knew he was going to turn.
Yes. You know, pretty much.
As soon as you saw the zombie bites his arm, he shoots the zombie's head off, the jaws are still on his arm.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious he was a goner. There were even characters that was like, you know, he's definitely turning, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I love that the old people weren't just clueless and helpless. They could take care of themselves.
In fact, they made a suicide pact.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, if one of those fuckers, you know, bite me, you know, mm-hmm. will you? And then I like that Peggy isn't squeamish about it. No, of course. You're going to be dead and fucking... Mm-hmm. Wait, what? Because I also had like the whole World War II, you know, flashback, you know, that he was this badass. And here he is in this retirement home where, like, you know, just living this quiet life.
Loved the baby zombie. A woman approaches him who's clearly been turned, pushing a baby carriage. Not only is she a zombie, the baby is a zombie.
Right, didn't see that coming.
And Mickey has to, like, punt it over a fence and then shoot its head off. It was just nicely self-aware.
Yeah, without being a little overbearing.
So.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, I was surprised even from the beginning. Like, the opening credits, I was kind of surprised at how high budget those opening credits were.
They were a little cliche for, a B-grade horror movie, but...
It's like, I mean, it was good comic book style art.
Yeah, the art was nice.
That you're not expecting to find in a movie... Mm. Called Cockneys versus Zombies.
Right.
You know, I'm expecting placards, you know, or just you know, low-grade graphics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked Mickey taking off the zombie's head with his bare hands. He turns the head 180 degrees. The zombie is still alive. The zombie's kind of walks at that point. I don't remember why he didn't just shoot it. He didn't have a gun on him, I guess. He turns it 360 degrees. The zombie's still moving. And then he just pulls the fucking head off.
You know, I would have just left him facing the other way. Because, I mean, it's not like he was really coordinated. But, yeah, better safe
than sorry. Only good zombie's a dead zombie.
Yeah.
Loved the old guy on the walker, Hamish, outpacing zombies.
The second great tweak of the zombie cliche in this film. One of my all-time favorite chase scenes, I would have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because the zombies are slow, but can they outrun an old man in a walker? And the fact that they just real-time it, where it's just kind of like everybody looking around at each other, kind of, what the fuck? Who's faster than us for dinner?
And I loved seeing Clive getting eaten. One of the hostages, there are two hostages. One is a woman who ends up becoming part of the crew. She helps them out. She's very useful. The other is a guy who was just a complete pompous ass, who flat out said, "You let me go, I will turn you in."
Right. Like, who does that? Who doesn't try to at least bargain for their lives, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Who tells the robber, you know what? Yeah, you better not let me go.
And we get to see him get eaten very violently, which was nice. And speaking of the self-awareness... I love that the zombie kills were awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody looks cool, except for maybe Granddad.
Yeah, of course.
But the rest of them, they look very realistic in terms of, like, this is how you would really do it. It would be awkward and kind of ungainly and not heroic looking at all.
Katie looked pretty badass there for a lot of it, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she takes the sword out and stuff.
Right, yeah. Well, you need a katana.
Yeah.
Loved the katana later in the movie going through three zombies.
The zombie skewer.
The zombie rumble. The two gangs of zombies attacking each other.
The zombie hooligans.
Loved that.
I was like, oh man, that's I think of the British things they shoehorned in here.
Yeah, yeah.
The zombie soccer hooligans. the double-decker bus escape.
The double-decker.
Yes.
Bought it like a half a brain for me. Now, there was a fair amount of rhyming slang, because it's Cockneys, from one character particularly.
Yeah.
That character's in a wheelchair.
Right.
Slightly annoyed because I did read that the actor isn't, but 10 years ago, I'll give it a pass. Granddad refers to him as Raspberry Ripple. I got a kick out of that because the word he's rhyming, I don't like at all. So I appreciated the twist on it.
You know what? I don't even think I got it until you just explained it to me now. And they were clear that he... It wasn't that he was stuck in the wheelchair. Oh, no, yeah.
They do take him out of the chair at one point to save the guy on the walker. Because the guy in the walker, Hamish, was outpacing them, but he was getting tired.
Right.
So they had to save him. And they used the wheelchair. I love the guy with the prosthetic leg getting bitten in that leg.
Yeah, he should have been... He was kind of underused in this.
Yeah.
The old retired mob boss or, you know, mob guy. You know, I felt he should have been given just a little bit more, but that was cool. You bit the wrong leg, stupid.
And then he pulls that leg off and bashes the zombie's head in.
Like, she's ready to kill him. Mm-hmm. Hamish was probably one of my favorites from
The boat being chained was a nice touch because they fight their way to this boat because the zombies can't get them in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
And you think, wait, at least I was thinking, wait, did they unanchor the boat? Is it still tied? Moored is the proper word.
Yeah.
Is the boat still moored? Because I don't remember seeing them do that. It was still chained.
In the, you know, the zombie onslaught, I wasn't thinking about it either until they started to drive away. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess if you're fighting a whole crowd off.
Grew up unmoored. Within walking distance of like three beaches. You know, was on lots of boats as a kid, so it was. I immediately thought of it, but I was glad to see that they covered that and used it as a bit of a ticking clock. And also, you think Granddad is going to sacrifice himself,
but of course not.
It leads to a wonderful heroic moment because he ends up with the Remington shotgun with a pile of zombies on him, and just as they think, you know, he's dead, we have to go, you know, kill the zombies or try to save him at least if he's not dead.
Yeah, or spare him from his fate.
He's just unloading on these zombies with the machine. It was supposedly a shotgun, but it fires like a machine gun.
Yeah, it was one of those. I forgot what it was exactly.
It was belt loaded, but and I don't know jack about guns, but I don't think it would fire exactly like that.
No, it definitely wasn't a shotgun.
He said it was a shotgun.
Hmm.
I listened to that scene twice to make sure. But Mickey might have been wrong. On it, well, I don't really think there's room for a sequel. I mean, every zombie movie has room for a sequel.
Yeah, a sequel just wouldn't be fun. The point of this was that it's about the East End and you know, that region.
And you mentioned prequel. Again, we don't need that.
I could see a prequel, though. Just, you know, how they... Well, I guess it could go more about Ray.
Yeah. But the point was how they dealt with the zombies.
Yeah.
And fortunately... So
it would be a completely different thing. It would have nothing to do with zombies.
There was no talk of either of the two.
Yeah.
On to brains. I think you've talked me up a brain. I'm going to go 4.5.
I enjoyed the hell out of this way more than I thought I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they actually found new ground for zombie movies, which I thought this was just so played out.
Yeah. Oh, another cliche I just thought of they didn't go for, the group of survivors.
Oh, at the...
another group of survivors.
And,
hope of sustaining humanity. It was just this group of people.
There were some things that defied the laws of physics, like if he's firing in a circle and they're standing right there, they're going to be eating some of that fire.
It's a zombie movie.
You're right. And, you know, the actual robbers, you know, the two brothers and the slow one, I can't remember his name, Davey, just, I mean, weren't very interesting, but of course they were kind of the straight men at the end.
Right, right.
So I'm going 4.5 too, because it is just, it was a lot of fun.
And what have we learned?
You know, you always need Christopher Lee. Doesn't matter what it is.
I read on Wikipedia that one was improvised. And I learned that just because you're old, it doesn't mean you can't take care of yourself. All right, that's it for Cockneys and Zombies until 3 weeks from now, because you're taking the next 2 weeks off for a road trip.
Yep.
When we'll be reviewing Alien Nation, the movie. And the following week we'll be talking about...
So not to be confused with the TV show.
Which we'll be reviewing the following week on the TV show. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.